were here with the winning captain from South Africa, Siya Kolisi. Siya, just tell me, when the final whistle went, what were your first thoughts?
I was just grateful. I was grateful for everything that the team has been through. You know, we faced a lot of challenges. But, you know, the people of South Africa have gotten behind us, and we are so grateful for the people of South Africa. And, you know, we have so many problems in our country, but to have a team like this, we know we come from different backgrounds, different races, and we came together with one goal, and we wanted to achieve it. I really hope that we've done that for South Africa, to show that we can pull together if we want to win and we achieve something.
Couldn't have said it any better, Cap. Just to the game, how important was it for you guys as a team to lay a physical marker early?
That's why we have a 6-2 split, to make sure that we go out physically. And they knew that that's what we wanted to do. You know, our coach doesn't hide it. And and from the minute go, we wanted to have a good start, because we know that's what they were chasing. So the boy, that's why some guys' shoulders were off, you know, early contact. So, yeah, but they were amazing today. They challenged us to the best.
I know you touched on it just a little bit earlier, but in a country where rugby's a religion, what does this mean?
Man, I have never seen, since I've been alive, I've never seen South Africa like this. You know, obviously in 95, what the World Cup did for us, you know. And now, you know, with all the challenges we're having, you know, the coach just came and told us the last game, we're not playing for ourselves anymore, we're playing for our people back home, you know. And that's what we wanted to do today, and we really appreciate all the support, people in the taverns, people in the shebeens, you know, people in farms, some homeless people, there were streets there, and people in rural areas. Thank you so much. We appreciate all the support. We love you, South Africa, and we can achieve anything if we work together as one.
Absolutely inspirational words. Congratulations, Skip.
Thank you so much. And lastly, thank you so much to the people of Japan, the people that came from England as well. Thank you so much for supporting the sport of rugby. Thank you to World Rugby for bringing rugby here. We appreciate you all. Arigato gozaimasu. Thank you.
That was World Cup winning Springbok captain Siya Kolisi, uGqwashu, uGqiya, uNjenje, uLawu, uManzini, speaking moments after the Springboks beat England 32-12 in the Rugby World Cup final at Yokohama Stadium in Japan on Saturday. I've been there. Unfortunately, I wasn't there for the World Cup final. I probably peaked too early, much like England, who had knocked out New Zealand a week prior. I was there the first week of the tournament. Talk about picking the worst week to go to the Rugby World Cup final. But history was made. Kolisi became the first black captain to lift the trophy for the Springboks. He was accompanied by a stellar cast of players, coaches, managers and support staff who all contributed to South Africa winning their third World Cup title. And of course, Rassie Erasmus was named the coach of the year at the World Rugby Awards that happened on Sunday. South Africa, the Springboks, were named Team of the Year at the same tournament. And the player of the year was Peter Steph Tutoi, who I think was the reincarnation of Juan Smith, of course, the South African number 7 who helped South Africa to the 2007 World Cup title, which was 12 years ago. It is an incredible feat considering that just 2 years ago, the Springboks were ranked as low as 7th in the world. But with Rassie Erasmus at the helm, they turned it around to beat the highly favored English team coached by Eddie Jones in the final last week. I'm not sure if you got it. I hope you didn't miss it. We had Stephen Jones, the UK Sunday Times rugby writer, on the Sports Live podcast to preview the final. Stephen, to his credit, had a good sense that Rassie could pull the wool over Eddie Jones's head during the final. And that's exactly what happened. They expected the Springboks to play a rather boring, rather dreary game, which is what they had showed, to be fair, against Wales. There were no tries, no backline tries that involved the flair and the debonair attitude that was shown in the final. I mean, the only try that they scored against Wales was pretty much Damien Dialenda going one man and bullying his way across the try line. But in the final, man, in the final, the hands from Lukanyo Am to find Marco Marx, who then found Makazole Mapimpi. Although there was a hint of a forward pass and the referees could have called it back, they deemed the pass to be legal. Mapimpi went forward, towed it ahead. Lukanyo arm chased, gathered, gave it back to Mapimpi, same time, and it was try time to the Springboks. But Stephen Jones wrote a beautiful piece in the Sunday Times UK, and I'll read a snippet from it where he says, the Springboks deserve their victory. They played wonderfully well on the day. They upset the favorites, and this time they are so much more representative of their backdrop than they ever were. There is no check on their celebrations. Rassie Erasmus has done a fantastic job in a limited period of time. Perhaps the win will generate interest and income so that they can pay their top players enough to keep them in the country. At present, there are so many of them at Sale Sharks, they should hold their squad sessions in Manchester. The hauntingly beautiful country, full of problems, full of glories, and the bitterness of history, can sleep easy tonight. After that, the battles continue, but they have done their bit. They dominated the final, and once again, it is the Springbok that is leaping highest. It will be a hard Englishman's morning. Who does not feel part of their joy? Compared to the life of rugby, comes home in second place. Compared to life, rugby comes home in second place. I just love that last bit by Stephen Jones, man, where he talks about South Africa being the hauntingly beautiful country, full of problems, full of glories, and the bitterness of history. But for just one night, South Africa can sleep easy. I think we've taken more than just one night, Stephen. I can guarantee you that we've taken the whole weekend and quite possibly quite a few months as well where we will enjoy this victory. But of course, it wouldn't be South Africa, would it, if there weren't a few people trying to piss on our chips and trying to rain on our parade. Yes, I've seen all the Ntsiki Mazwai posts, and yes, I've seen all the Mbuyiselo Ndlozi tweets. Yes, guys, we do understand that this Rugby World Cup win does not solve transformation, and nobody said it does. And if you've been following the transformation conversation instead of jumping on an already moving bandwagon, you would realize there's a lot of people that have actually been making this argument since day one. People have not been waiting for the Rugby World Cup to be in Siya Kolisi's hands for them to raise the issues in the country as far as redress is concerned. I mean, I wrote a whole book about being a black Springbok with Thando Manana, telling Thando Manana's story. And if that wasn't enough, you'd have to listen to The Room Dividers, where Robert Marau as well as Thando Manana bring guests on, and they speak about what the rugby landscape is like. And really, these conversations are new, and what I don't like is the fact that people who won't normally give a toss about what happens on a rugby field have decided to use this moment either to advance their political ideals or simply for clout. And there will be a lot of clout chasing, there will be a lot of trolling, there are a lot of people, I mean, the people who've accused Siya Kolisi of being a window dressing exercise, the fact that he's a captain, which I have to be honest, I find rather disturbing and disgusting, because the guy is one of the most hardworking rugby players I have ever met. And he certainly deserved his place as the leader of this team, and no doubt in the back row of this team. And were it not for Trevor Nyakane's injury, we could have had an all-black front row, something that would have been unheard of. Not five, not ten. 2 years ago, before Rassie Erasmus got to this team. I mean, 2 years ago, we had a black coach, Alistair Kutsia, who had an opportunity to make Siya Kolisi captain, and he just wouldn't make that decision. But Rassie Erasmus had the foresight to do so, and Siya Kolisi went on and led South Africa to the Rugby World Cup. And if that doesn't speak volumes of the man, and that doesn't earn him credit, I don't know what will. But anyway, this is South Africa, man. We all have our opinions, and at the end of the day, look, people are always going to say this thing and that thing. And, you know, until we get to such a point where we appease everybody, which I'm not sure will ever really happen, we're always going to get a dividing opinion. And what I do hope is that at least let's not discredit the work that has been done by these players as well as their coaching staff. I mean, you look at that coaching staff, aside from Rassie Erasmus, you've got Lindsay Ware, who's from East London. You've got Dr. Jerome Mampanya, whom I respect immensely. You've got JJ Fredericks, who used to play, and he's a logistics manager, man, and he's been with the Springboks through the highs and lows, JJ, and nobody ever mentions him. He does the hard work in the background. And you've got Mzwandile Stick, of course, the assistant coach who works with skills. I mean, if you're going to put a damper on things and say that those guys are window dressing, although they've done the work to help the Springboks win the Rugby World Cup, goddammit, you are really, really discrediting some very, very good professionals in their team. And you know, to their physio, to their logistics people, to all the staff members, the media people, Rayan, Andy, and the guys who were in South Africa that didn't go over to Japan, Lindwe, DJ, you know, I take my hat off to you guys. It's been a very rough 4 years since the last World Cup, but you know, with winning comes a good feeling, and in the majority of the country. So the rest of us aren't going to be down because of a couple of tweets and a few cloud chases. We're just going to enjoy this, and enjoy this we did. I managed to head down to OR Tambo and catch up with the Springboks on arrival, and man, oh man, was it a vibe. Wow, what an incredible reception the Springboks received here at OR Tambo this afternoon and this evening as the players came through the parade. What seemed like a never-ending day, the Springboks walked out of the arrivals terminals at OR Tambo International, Siya Kolisi holding that trophy. What a historic moment it was, and as promised, I wanted you guys to hear what Rassie Erasmus, the coach, as well as Siya Kolisi, the captain, had to say as they arrived to Heroes Welcome here at OR Tambo International, where all South Africans of all ages, young, old, all color, all races, were here to support the Springboks, chanting Siya Kolisi's name, singing songs of jubilation, expressing their joy in seeing the Springboks once again world champions. But I want you to hear straight from the horse's mouth, straight from Rassie Erasmus and Siya Kolisi, about what this moment meant to see the pair of them walk through almost hand in hand. It was there, I guess, in a strange way, their Winnie and Mandela and Nelson Mandela moment as they walked together side by side to deliver yet another piece of history for South Africa. What an incredible, incredible welcome they received.
You think you won because you wanted it more than the England team, because it meant so much to the people outside here. Both of you, Kolisi first, please, and Razin.
I think we won because, yeah, we definitely wanted it a lot. I know they also wanted it a lot, but I must say the people outside here and the people inside here did help us a lot. It gave us another reason, you know, to fight even harder because we knew what was going on back at home. And I think Coach reminded us that we have a privilege of doing what we're doing, and that can give a little bit of hope to the people. And yeah, I did drive, seeing all the videos in malls, in taverns, and every single person in the street celebrating. So we knew it was much more than just for our personal gains, it was for the country.
Coach, you spoke about pressure and the fact that there's so much at stake here. Could you just expand on that again?
Yeah, I think Sia touched on that. After the first All Black Test match, which we lost, as I said in the press conference after the World Cup final, I felt we had a terrible week leading into that first pool game against New Zealand. And after that week, we sat down and said, listen, what is pressure really for us? And we were quite honest with one another. And every single player had a contribution and saying, listen, but what is pressure really? You know, how can we be nervous going into a big Test match if there's so many other things in life that we can be nervous about, and that's just actually what I tried to say in that media conference, that pressure in South Africa isn't exactly what people in New Zealand experience as pressure, and it's different in England, and it's different in France, and when we play, you know, we shouldn't play under pressure, you know, we should play under the you know, the nice, I wouldn't say burden, but the nice luck that what we have to go and try and fix some problems for South Africa. And that's not pressure, that's a hell of a compliment to have. And I think that's the way we turned it around. And then on your first question, did we win it because we wanted it more? I think that's half of it. I think the other half is these guys really trained hard, you know, that they were really fit. They were well conditioned, you know. They did all their homework really well in terms of the game plans. They recovered well. They were really professional right through all 135 days that we were together. So I think that's the first part that they played a big role. And then the second part was definitely South Africa. You know, we wanted to win it for South Africa. That's without a doubt. And you can see what's happening currently. Yeah, it just absolutely drove us. When they made a tackle half-time when they came in, the chat was again about South Africa. It wasn't about the actual game plan. It was about the people back home watching watching TV, the messages. So for half of it, hard work. The other half was you guys.
Guns. An essential tool in self-protection or a catalyst for criminality. CliffCentral.com presents GunCast, a podcast that unpacks the divisive issue of gun ownership in South Africa. Join legal expert Martin Hood as he hosts a series of talks with both sides of the gun lobby. Whether you support the right to carry guns or you believe they're a destructive tool that society could do without, GunCast will enlighten and challenge you in equal measure. Find GunCast now on the Cliff Central app, on CliffCentral.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm going to skip quickly now to the upset and playmakers of the week. It's really a no-brainer. But before I do that, actually, let me recap a little bit on the other sports. You might be feeling a little left out. You might be a Chiefs fan and you might want to, bask in some glory of some very pretty decent results of late. You guys beat Mamelodi Sundowns in the league a week prior and you've capped it off with knocking out Orlando Pirates and on penalties after a 2-2 draw, after extra time. I think it's a good time to be a Chiefs fan at the moment, and there's a lot of talk of beneficiaries, who's benefiting from refereeing errors and who's not, but I think it's a real slight on South African officiating when week in, week out, there are debatable decisions. But hey, it's football, and until technology is fixed and I guess everyone's happy, you're always going to get those human errors. But yes, kudos. Kaizer Chiefs, again, we're talking about them. And I've never spoken this much about Kaizer Chiefs at any point in time. And I've edited Kickoff Magazine. That tells you something about the Chiefs team we have under Ernst Middendorp at the moment. Yep, they beat Orlando Pirates to make it through to the semifinals of the Telkom Knockout. Where, hey, it seems like there's either going to be a KZN derby in the final, or it might just be Mamelodi Sundowns and Kaizer Chiefs. Everybody's hoping that it'll be another, Kaizer Chiefs Sundowns, matchup there in that final, because Maritzburg United beat Highlands Park also on penalties over the weekend, and Mamelodi Sundowns beat Chippa United as well on penalties, with SuperSport United going down to Golden Arrows, an incredible result. Steve Kombela's Golden Arrows still pulling up some amazing results, but they will meet Mamelodi Sundowns, and that is going to be a very, very tough fixture. Chiefs face Maritzburg United in the other fixture. That was what the draw pulled up. And, well, we'll see how those two fixtures pan out. Yeah, those are the Telkom Knockout semifinals. It is expected that a lot more thrills and spills will take down in the English Premiership as well. Whew, what happened there? Chelsea continued the winning streak. Man United got beaten by Bournemouth. Liverpool scraped past Villa, I think, and Man City as well. Man City were also taken to the wire. And so if you are an Arsenal fan and you're licking your wounds after your team drew 1-1 with Wolves, I think it's time where you have to consider changing teams, my man. But I'm a Chelsea fan. I don't hide it. We won against Watford. How long is it now? I think it's 6 wins in a row. Yeah, we are in the top 4. We are 4th. We are just behind Leicester. Leicester also won over the weekend. We just can't seem to shrug them off. Well, That's the EPL, and that's enough. Enough of other sports. We are cracking straight back onto rugby. We're not done with analyzing this Rugby World Cup, this historic moment. I will get onto the upset of the week, of course, that has to go to the Springboks, upsetting hot favorites, England, to scoop the William Webb Ellis Trophy. England were overwhelming favorites for the World Cup final after they eliminated previous holders, New Zealand, in the semifinals. But on the big day, England didn't turn up and the Springboks showed their might. Which brings me to the playmaker of the week. Goes to Makazole, D-Rex, Mapimpi and Cheslin Kolbe for scoring South Africa's first and second tries in World Cup finals history during the 32-12 demolition of England in the Rugby World Cup final at Yokohama Stadium last Saturday. And right, let's unpack it. Let's sit down. Let's go through what happened. I was fortunate enough to watch the game with, shall I say, some of the best rugby minds, some of the most skillful players we've seen in the country, guys who are Springboks in their own right. I'm talking about Warren Whiteley as well as Ryan Kankowski. Yeah, we were in the same venue watching it and taking down some Heinekens. Man, oh man, what a great, great day. Of course, Warren Whiteley, not so long ago, he was the captain of the same Springbok team. Heck, it might have even been him lifting that trophy were it not for injuries. Unfortunately, Waza didn't make it to the Rugby World Cup squad. Then Ryan Kankowski was in Japan in 2015 when the Springboks actually lost to Japan in Brighton. So he copped a bit of flack when he was a lone South African in the pub, a story which he is about to tell to us in just a moment. So it is a fascinating conversation. It was recorded moments after Siya Kolisi lifted the Rugby World Cup trophy. I don't think it gets better than this in terms of analyzing the Rugby World Cup final to Springboks, one of which was part of the training camp just before they left for Japan and has captained the team. Ryan Kankowski, who has played decades in professional rugby, both of whom looks retired now. Certainly Ryan Kankowski is playing more golf than rugby at the moment, and Warren Whiteley has, well, he told us on record on the Sports Life podcast that, yeah, he wants to get into coaching as soon as next year. Will he be a player coach? I don't know. You'll have to listen. But first things first, Rugby World Cup analysis brought to you by Warren Whiteley as well as Ryan Kankowski. All right, I'm hanging out with Warren Whiteley as well as Ryan Kankowski. Yeah, both former Springboks, both former number eights, and we are at the Heineken Experience. We just watched the Springboks lift the Rugby World Cup for the third time with Siya Kolisi as captain. Absolutely unbelievable. I still haven't digested it. I don't know if you guys have. I'll start with you, Kanko. What was it like, just that final moment where it sunk in that the Springboks have actually done this?
I don't think it's sunk in yet. You know, it's something so special, especially to see where the guys came from and how hard they've worked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to actually lift this trophy, and you know, I think it's going to take a couple of days for everyone to kind of sit down, get over the whole party stage, and actually realize what they've actually done. You know,
yeah.
What a performance. You know, everyone put their hand up. You know, as a team, you can't fault them. They were amazing together.
Yeah, and Warren, you captained this team not so long ago, and unfortunately, due to injuries, you weren't able to be part of the current setup. What was it like for you to actually watch the guys actually, you know, follow through on the plan?
No, it was incredible, and knowing the amount of planning that's gone into this campaign, I've said it before, in one of our first alignment camps, seeing Rossi plan every single day to the minute of this World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, they plan to play in this final. It was just phenomenal. And as Ryan said, I don't think any of us really believe or really know the impact and the historical moment that this really is. I think maybe in the next week or two or month, we're really going to come to terms with it, because this is massive. Eh? It was just huge.
Yeah.
From where this team has come from, 2 years ago ranked, you know, seventh in the world.
Yeah.
To now be world champions is just phenomenal, and you know, Siya lifting that trophy, yeah.
Looks like you've got goosebumps there.
Yeah, no, it's special. You know, it's because you've been there, you've put in the hard work. You know, you know what those players are going through, and just to see how know, you can see how much it means to them. You know, you can see on their faces and how hard they were trying from the first minute to the 80th. So
couldn't have been an easy job. I mean, both of you have played at the highest level, obviously, and just the England side looked absolutely terrifying after that semi-final. Do you think they emptied their tank in the semi against the All Blacks?
One of my concerns for the English going into this game was that performance against the All Blacks. Immediately after that performance, the pressure was on them. Immediately they were seen as favourites.
Right. So they were enjoying the tournament nicely, you know, blow under the radar, people watching the All Blacks and Springboks, see what they will do. And then
after
suddenly
that
they were the favourites.
They were the favourites, and you know, I believe Russ and them sat back as underdogs, quietly confident, sticking to their game plan, sticking to their guns, believing in, you know, what they're doing, and getting a lot of criticism all around our country. And I mean, it's a lesson for all of us as South Africans. You know, often we are our own worst enemies.
Yeah.
You know, we criticise each other, but if we stick together and we believe in what we do, I mean, this team has proven to us, you know, what can be achieved. It's just, it's phenomenal. You know, they've brought us so much hope as a country and a nation, and inspired us all.
Kenko, you played in Japan.
Yes.
What was that experience like? I actually was fortunate enough to go over there the first week of this tournament to watch the initial game. Probably also peaked too early, if I'm being honest. But what was the Japanese experience like for you while you were there playing? How have the Japanese taken to rugby?
Listen, I absolutely loved it. You know, it's an amazing country. The people are friendly. Everything they do works.
Yeah.
You know, so it's quite hard to explain to people that haven't actually been there to see how they run things.
Yeah.
And rugby, I was unfortunately there when they beat us the last World Cup. I was mocked.
Did you get
badly?
Some sticks?
No, just only South African in the pub.
Oh,
bad.
No.
So it was one of those. And you know, that following day, that week actually, they went from us having 5,000 supporters in a stadium to 45,000 people overnight. You'd get on a bus or a train and you'd see people sitting there reading the rules of rugby, because rugby's a new sport to them. You know, it's not a,
and they're so methodical, so like they're probably the only country that
exactly
will want to learn the game through the rules of
no matter
book.
What it is, they put everything into it. And then now to have their team, firstly them hosting such a brilliant World Cup, you know, I think as Warren was saying earlier, they've broken all the records. For the Japanese team to actually finish top of their pool, to go into the quarterfinals, actually playing, not luckily, like played brilliant rugby. So I think it's growing, and whatever they're doing, it's working for them. So I think they're just going to keep getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah, let's get to the game now. And there were parts in it where I felt like the Springboks are too dominant for a 3-0 lead, 6-3. You know, it's far too close for the kind of first half dominance that we enjoyed. And there were a few chances. I know Ahmed had a chance. I think we had a 2-man, 3-man overlap. And I think he was probably looking at the space.
Yeah.
And he hadn't even caught the ball yet. He probably couldn't believe his luck.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it spilled out of his hands. But there were moments where the box, you could tell that, you know what, there are spaces in this England defense that even the All Blacks couldn't exploit a week earlier. And how do you analyze the actual game that the Springboks played?
Our pack set the tone, and we've seen it throughout the whole World Cup.
Yeah.
How dominant our scrum has been, how dominant our line-out and our line-out maul has been, and how we've controlled possession. And yes, we have kicked a lot, but we've been powerful and we've been accurate.
Yeah.
And I think England's approach was a bit naive. They tried to run out of their own half on a couple of occasions, try to play a very expansive game against a defensive system which has been, you know, the best in the world, the best in this World Cup. They haven't faced a defensive system like ours in this World Cup, and I just think they approached the game almost not believing we were good enough to beat them. They were very naive in their approach, and yes, our scrum was phenomenal. Myself and Ryan spoke about it earlier. That really set the tone.
Yeah.
That when
you could tell,
you saw how
England's
beast,
faces
you
were.
You see our beast's face when you're singing the national anthem. We looked at each other and we were like,
oh, this guy,
he's going to kill this guy that he's playing against. First scrum, scrummed him into the ground, penalty. And then from then on, And then they brought on the substitutes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And they did exactly the same thing. You know, so the forwards.
They brought in Dan Cole, I think, for Kyle Sinclair.
And they just got steamrolled, you know. So, you know, that saps energy out of you.
Yeah.
If you're going backwards, it's not just a physical draining of energy. It's mentally, like, what do? You're in a hole. And it's you versus me. There's nowhere to hide. Put the ball and you go backwards. Penalty. Another 3 points. And then, you know, you have to start taking chances. And every time they did try and take a chance, they got punished. So, you know, the guys had a game plan, kept it simple, and it worked.
It worked wonderfully. I mean, I think England, everything they tried to throw at South Africa using the big ball carriers. There was a period there where they had all the ball, breaking gain line, Tuilangi, the Vunipola brothers, Itoji, and it looked like they might actually score. But to come out from that, how does the defense of the Springboks then give the confidence to the rest of the team that we survived that period where of the most pressure, and it's just before halftime, and you don't want to go into the sheds having just conceded a try in a World Cup final. How big was that defensive moment?
That was definitely a massive moment within the game. And I'm not exactly sure, but I think it was about 6-3, if I'm not correct, or 9-3. So
yeah,
we were ahead, but they were on our line and they were getting a lot of momentum. And our defense, again, was just incredible.
Yeah.
And hasn't it been throughout the whole World Cup?
Yeah, then we've conceded the least tries.
It's just been phenomenal.
All the teams.
Our defense has turned into attack, basically.
Yeah.
We pressurized them, and you know, we used our opportunities. But that was a crucial moment. That was a crucial moment. Keeping them out there, sapping their energy. And as Ryan said, rugby, as much as it is a physical game, it's very mental. You know, and that was a big mental moment for the Springboks. Keeping the English out and just almost, you know, giving them a little signal or a sign saying you're going to have to do more than that to cross this line today, and they couldn't.
It was absolutely incredible. You could tell Lewis went off with a dislocated shoulder. Bogi Bonabi got concussed. It's almost as if the guys told there were bodies all over the floor. It's like they were saying, look, I don't care what happens to me after this. It's just like I can't still be walking at the end of this game and be proud of my effort. It's like they went beyond their 100%, which is all you can ask for the guys.
Yeah, Rusty would have told them, listen guys, put it all out there. They've got holidays now. They got as long as they want, basically, after winning this. So
with a gold medal out there.
That's it. You leave it all out there. There is a replacement that can, you know, listen, if you go down, if you break something, someone will come on for you.
Yeah.
So empty the tank and you could see everyone put their hand up. They gave, you know, their best performance, and you know they didn't just win; they dominated this game.
Yeah.
And from the first, it was a solid 80-minute performance, and we dominated, like, I think every facet of play. Yeah. It was just, it was great. It was a great game of rugby.
This is amazing. And Colby, my PB tries.
Yeah. Warren called it. He said beforehand. So he said Chesney's going to score the last points and we're going to win it. So Chesney, I promise
you're like
you,
the oracle.
Put Chesney in a meter box, he'll step
Park.
You.
Chesney's been unbelievable throughout this whole World Cup, and for him to be nominated as one of the World Rugby
he's players definitely
of
winning it now.
It's incredible.
After that,
it's him and
Peter Steff.
Peter Steff is also
Russia as coach of the year. So look, I expect South Africans to win both of those awards. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Even Herschel Yanchi's breakthrough player of the year.
I
thought he's actually been amazing this year.
And try of the year as well. Kobus Reinach has try of the year.
Yeah, quickest try.
We could just see a clean sweep, as Ryan was saying earlier.
Yeah.
So, it's incredible. It means so much to our country. Huge.
Oh, wow, I'm trying to drink it all in. I'm having a non-alcoholic Heineken, though. I'm trying to not let my emotions get the better of me, so I'm keeping a lid on it. I actually know a few of the guys personally. Lukanyo Am, Mapimpi, they're both from where I'm from, which is East London.
Slammies.
Slammies. So I'm going to catch up with those boys as soon as the World Cup is done. It's going to be absolutely incredible. Like, but what do you make of those guys? You know, we've chatted before, Warren, about sort of the guys that really come out from tough backgrounds. You know, we've spoken about Chocho Mbovane, who I wrote about earlier in this year. Fortunately, Chocho managed to find something at Naka Bulls. So he's back playing rugby again. He's only 27 years old, Chocho. But, you know, guys like Magazole Mapimpi, you know, really not from the linear rugby route, didn't go to a prestigious school. Sia, you could say, was also fortunate to get a chance at Grey, which then catapulted him to Western Province. But, you know, Lokanyo Arm went to DeForest Malan. I'm sure half of the world doesn't know what DeForest Malan. And he's from Zwelitsha, which is where Bobs is from, funny enough. But, you know, these guys really give belief to supporters on the ground that really the impossible can be done.
No, it's huge. And that's why it's so important that a game like this, a moment like this, is available for all South Africans to see. And I know there was a lot of disappointment at the beginning of the tournament that the majority of South Africans won't be able to watch it.
It wasn't going to
be broadcast on the SABC. And, you know, that when Heineken partnered with the SABC, it was massive. The amount of people that now got to watch this game today, that got to see this historical moment. I mean, it's millions and millions more people.
It's incredible.
I just really hope they broadcast each and every game on SABC from the beginning of the World Cup right to the end, because the people need to see this. They need to see these moments from the beginning to see where this team has come from and what they have achieved. It's so important. And I just wish it was there from, you know, they broadcast from the start. But may it be a lesson, you know, we should never doubt ourselves as South Africans, you know. We're so capable, and such an unbelievable moment, and just so proud, This is, it's incredible.
Incredible moment. All right, gentlemen seem to be taking it all in. I'm going to let you guys go and have a nice quiet one, if it's going to be quiet after.
I'll call free.
I think as soon as I get home, I'll retire from the alcohol free. And thank you for joining me on the Sports Live podcast. I hope to chat to you gentlemen in the future. And I also want to know what you guys will be up to, you know, post career.
Anytime.
I hear you'll be coaching.
Yeah, it's coaching, playing, we're not sure yet, but spending a lot of time coaching and doing my rehab. And you know, when you see moments like this,
it's a fire.
And you know, being a player, and I mean, I think playing was never my identity. You know, I love the game of rugby. And
you were president of the Players Union as well.
Yeah, I was involved with the Players Union, so I love this game. And I know what Rassie has done, and I think it's unbelievable as a coach to still be involved, and you know, to bring inspiration to your players and to your country. And I think to serve your team, to serve them, to give back, to develop the players and teach and coach. So I know what Rassie has done and the amount of work that's gone into this. It's just incredible.
Awesome. And Kanko, you've gone corporate, apparently.
I wouldn't say corporate. Got involved with, fortunate to get involved with the property development while I was playing in Japan. And fortunately, a lot of it worked out. And it keeps me busy in the mornings.
Yeah,
I'm able to.
For an hour or two, and then he plays golf. Pretty much the rest of the day.
I'm trying to get this golf thing going. It's a new bug that's bit me. But as I said, I was fortunate to get a few things going, and you know, luckily they generate me a bit of an income, and I can afford to kind of take a bit of time and put proper energy into something that I do find and that I do really want to go into one day.
A man of your skills should get back to rugby, Kanko. So where is it? You should be playing golf back.
One day. You know? One day. I'll definitely come back. So,
I hope to see you guys back contributing to rugby again. Thanks again.
Thank you.
For joining me on this historic day. Yes. I'm sure everybody who's been listening really gets to understand more. It will be unpacked. It will be picked apart. we'll review the footage. I'm still going to go home and actually look at the technical side of things, you know, without someone bumping me there without the noise. So, yeah, gentlemen, great day. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure.
Appreciate all the best.
It. Thank you.
Cheers. All right.
That's it from me, Sbu Mjikeliso, and you've been listening to the Sports Live podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Do also catch us on timeslive.co.za, as well as Sowetan Live, Business Live. We are also on Iono FM, the Apple Podcast Store, or wherever you get your podcasts. It could be Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, Pocket Cast, wherever. To connect with us, please use the hashtag SportsLive. Share your comments with us at TimesLive or at Sowetan Live on Twitter. A big thank you goes out to the Multimedia Live team led by Scott Peter Smith and producer Paige Muller, as well as the Tiso Black Star Digital Sports Department headed by Ninawa Nchana Ntoko. Our sound and audio mixer is Innocent Manike. From us at the Sports Live podcast, it's goodbye for now.